Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Russell Johnson, the recruiting guru slash analyst slash know-it-all in recruiting circles, is here.
You're going to have to give Slash and give me the nickname of Slash.
I could. I could give you a nickname of Slash. You and Cordell Stewart can fight over it. He's probably like me right now. He's too tired. He would just say, out of hell with it here. It's yours. So we'll talk to Russell in a minute. We will take your questions on rebelgrove.com. We'll get to that in a moment. First, let me tell you about Billy's Pecans, because Billy's Pecans is the sponsor of this here podcast. And without Billy's Pecans, well, there might not be a podcast. Billy's Pecans, let them handle all of your corporate gifts. It really, it's what we did at Christmas time, we being rebelgrove.com and MPW Digital. We let Billy's Pecans handle our corporate gifting, and everyone loved it. At Billy's Pecans, they know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, or tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans will handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, and with items at every price point you simply can't choose wrong. Consider the assorted gift bag, 8 ounces each, perfect little hostess bags or thank you gifts, the best-selling party trio, any three pecan treats, you can mix those up, or the pecans and chocolate for an especially sweet gift. Additionally, Billy's Pecans can customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes, so your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, ship fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and more, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com. That's B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com, or 800-624-7404. We are coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. The number is 662-257-1900. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark, tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for, he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple, there's no haggling, it's right to the bottom line. You get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can shop it as much as you would like, that's your prerogative, it's a free country, go for it. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford go ahead and take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Nice and simple. You get a great vehicle, great service after the sale, just tremendous people there at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. So a couple of things. In this podcast, we're going to stick with recruiting. As soon as we finish this podcast, we are going to change our caps, and we are going to do the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, at which point we will take your NBA questions. We might talk a little baseball. Point of clarification number two, we are watching the Cubs and the Pirates from Wrigley as we tape this. If you hear screams or hollers or shrieks of pain, it is likely Cub-related, and Russell is fine. Don't worry, Russell's fine. At least for right now, Russell's not going anywhere. We're doing all we can to keep him, but today if you hear screams of pain, they are not related to Ole Miss recruiting or anyone else's recruiting for that matter. So Russell, with that all that said, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a busy. Obviously, we took last week off, and it's been a busy week plus in Ole Miss recruiting. Obviously, on Rivals.com, currently they are rated as the number one class in the country. They picked up six commitments, five and a half, depending on how you qualify and consider Lloyd Murray's commitment right now, the defensive tackle from Texas, who I'm sure you saw a little bit of what happened.
I did. I enjoyed. I enjoyed the he didn't feel the love, and then 2 days later he felt the love, and I thought, hey, you're 16.
Yeah, and then he tried to say that he never did it, and I'm like, you did it.
Well, someone may have hacked his Twitter account. It happens.
Yeah, someone just may have texted me the wrong number. I mean, but But when you know come down to it, you know, Ole Miss added quite a few quality talents. They got DeJuan Black, obviously, from Forest. That's been an adventure of a recruiting process for him, and I think it's going to continue. And then, the moment Tisdale left Oxford for his visit, either the end of last month or the beginning of this month, whenever it was, Tisdale knew he wanted to be here. It was just a matter of the finality and getting back here for an official and if he wanted to commit before then.
Were you surprised that's the quarterback that ends up being the one in this class? They were in on a bunch of guys, which is what you're supposed to do as a staff. You need to get in on multiple quarterbacks so that you make sure that you get yours.
I think that it was definitely an interesting timing standpoint. But from the standpoint of the other quarterback dominoes falling, I mean, you've seen so many fall just since he committed. You've seen Helinski to South Carolina was, I think, a couple of days before. Then earlier this week, Florida State got their quarterback and Sam Howell. The dominoes are falling at the quarterback position, and Mississippi State already has their quarterback and Garrett Schrader from the Charlotte area. So, you know, when the dominoes start falling, you kind of got to get it while you can, because if not, he would probably have, you know, been committed if they would have told him to hold off. You know, Texas Tech or Baylor or one of those schools, even Oregon, could possibly have him in their class instead of Ole Miss.
All right, let's get to the questions as Kyle Hendricks gets things going in Chicago. There is an obsession with the punter kicker thing, so we'll start there. Who are they recruiting at punter kicker, and are they using a scholarship there?
There's still no real clarification on whether or not they're going to use a scholarship on a kicker, but the one name I hear the most and see the most on campus is Noah Grant from Briarcrest Christian up in the Memphis area. He's been rated by, you know, the kicking recruiting companies. You know, take that for what you want. He's a 4.5-star kicker, and, coming into the fall, you know, Ole Miss is obviously going to have some questions in special teams, and I don't for certain know if those are going to be solved this coming season. So the chance of them using a scholarship on him and him starting as a freshman in season of 2019, you know, it's likely. Yes, I saw Polanco hit the homer.
Yeah, Polanco's a stud. I'm more obsessed with Sarah Jean Underwood here right now. She's just like moving around and turning around, and she's playing video games.
Every week, we're just so thankful to have him on our board.
I mean, seems frustrated at the game. It's got like a popsicle, like one of those pudding pops.
I think it is, yeah.
Remember those jello pudding pops?
I sure do.
When we were kids, we used to like those. We had those like caramel and chocolate. They were swirled. And then there'd be like my mom would always get that, the variety box. And so you'd have some plain chocolate, some plain vanilla, some chocolate and caramel, and some chocolate and vanilla. And at the end of the box, you were always like, ah, oh, damn it, it's the vanilla.
Yeah.
Sarah Jean wants, she can have whatever she wants. Goodness. Kenyon Green, what factors are playing into his recruitment? How much of a shot does Ole Miss have there on Kenyon Green?
Kenyon Green is from a city in Texas that I can't exactly pronounce, Atascocita. I don't know. I have no idea. Sure. But he's a 5-star tackle. He was committed to LSU at one point. And both Lloyd Murray and Grant Tisdale have kind of turned up the heat on him a little bit, as well as a couple members of the staff. The main members of the staff recruiting him are Phil Longo, Coach Snow, the GA, and then Ben Agamawa, the offensive line assistant. What he wants to do, Kenyon Green, is, you know, he wants the early playing time. He wants to start as a freshman and come in and slide right into the picture in the rotation on an SEC offensive line. Whether that ends up being, you know, potentially Ole Miss, Texas A&M, there's several other schools in the mix for him, including in Texas, which is, you know, out of the SEC, but still, you know, the push for him to stay in state and a couple of the other kids from the state of Texas has been stronger this year than in years past because of, you know, some of the other top weapons like Garrett Wilson from Lake Travis. We had spoken about him on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he's originally from Ohio, and he seems more than likely headed to Ohio State. So it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, how the state of Texas plays out, you know, how Texas A&M does in their first year. All of these are going to become key factors in Green's recruitment as time goes on, whether or not he makes an early commitment or not.
Along those lines, who are the top – you kind of touched on this – who are the top offensive line players that Ole Miss is really in on? And then he wants you to break down – I believe it's – is it Tarikus?
Yes, yes.
Tarikus Tisdale.
I think he originally signed when you were covering recruiting.
He did. He did, and I chose to forget how to pronounce his first name because it was difficult. Is that going to get out too? No, I was going to stay in the ballpark. Tarikus Tisdale is a player. Could he contribute if he makes it this year?
You know, if Tisdale is able to make everything he needs to make happen at Northwest in the next several months, he could definitely make an impact. You know, they signed Hal Northam from Northwest last year too, and it seems that Hal and a couple of the other signees, you know, in the past on the defensive line, they might need a little bit more seasoning. But with Tisdale, you know, he's kind of more of a plug-and-play guy. He's got the size and the physicality. I mean, I believe when he signed out of high school, he was a linebacker. Is that correct?
I think that's right. Yeah.
And now they see him, you know, possibly rotating between end and tackle on the line. So he's put on quite a bit of weight. And, you know, the Northwest coaches, the Northwest coaches have been able to, you know, kind of manage that and at the same time use it to their best capability. I'm actually not sure if Tisdale's been participating in spring ball there because of the chance for him to reclassify into the class of 2018. And you asked about top offensive line players. Obviously, there's Kenyon Green. You've got John Olmstead from New Jersey. You had Brian Hudson, who I believe made a commitment to Virginia Tech. Yeah, earlier this week.
Yeah, I was on that one. I had that.
You scooped it?
I did.
And there's several others. Brandon Cunningham from in-state is somebody who I don't see them, you know, pushing as hard for going forward. You know, there's been some interesting turns in his recruitment. He's been committed to Miami for a while. He actually was there for about a week. It was kind of interesting. He took like a week-long visit to the University of Miami.
If you're going to go visit somewhere a week, I mean, that makes sense.
Right. I mean, if I was a recruit and I had five officials, Miami would definitely be up there.
Wonder if you could take all five of your – why can't you take all five officials to the same place? Like, lock it up. Take five and get a 10-day trip to Miami. Let's go chill at Coral Gables for 10 days and then sign with Purdue. I mean, why not?
That would definitely be a game changer in recruiting.
That would change things if you could take multiple officials to one place.
Yeah, and I mean, and speaking of the officials and the recruiting calendar, you know, there are going to be official visitors all over the place this weekend. Whether or not they actually take place due to weather, I mean, in the Northeast, they've canceled what, 5-6 spring games.
I saw where Michigan canceled theirs. I've seen a couple others. I try hard, and I think you'll agree with this. I try hard to not be angry man who yells at cloud. But I still don't really like a lot of the early official visit things.
It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense.
It's a recipe for a lot of really hurt feelings. And I know it worked out okay last year, and it will probably work out again okay this year. But, man, it just feels weird. You take your official visits in April, and then the season rolls around, and all hell breaks loose, and you have no visits left.
Yeah, I mean, you're left in the dry. I mean, there's nothing you can do, especially if you take all five and let's say you are fully committed to Memphis, for example.
Okay.
And, you know, everything goes as planned. Memphis goes 10-2, blah, 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 wins the American, and Norvell leaves for a new job.
Yeah.
New coaching staff wants nothing to do with you.
Or you want nothing to do with them.
Yeah, exactly. You have no choice but to likely either sign with them, go JUCO, or, you know, just commit to a place like Lloyd Murray has without visiting.
There's been a lot made about, pardon me, the quantity of commitments, the quantity of kids who are...
Yeah, there's 15 committed right now. The next highest number in the country is Miami, I believe, at least from the highly rated standpoint, with 11. And with that, you know, I was talking to Mike Farrell about this earlier, is it's a bold strategy for Ole Miss to have 15 commitments in April in what is being called such a pivotal class. If you continue to get the number up, and I've heard they want to get the number up as high as 20 before the summer, that you can either strike out with the top targets, the N'Kobe Dean, the Nathan Pickering, the DeMonte Russell, and all of them, Or what ends up happening is you know, you overcommit, and then you have to possibly burn some bridges later on, which is something that Luke has tried not to do, especially after creating bridges by offering Tylan Knight as late in the process as he did.
Okay, you mentioned N'Kobe Dean. People ask every week, how's that coming, and is he going to come up the weekend of Double Decker, which is 2 weeks from now?
It's 2 weekends from now?
Yeah, it's the weekend of the 26th, 27th, 28th, that weekend. Don't hold me to exact dates.
You'll be there, right? You'll be partying it up?
No, I will be on a college visit weekend of my own.
I will be in Nashville, Tennessee. But Double Decker weekend.
School.
N'Kobe Dean, his recruitment, Alabama's kind of taking a step back. There's a couple things that might have taken place on his last visit there last weekend that Mama Dean ain't too happy.
Oh?
And but we'll see what happens with that. You know, it can either be brushed
up. I have to ask, because there's people out there, and I'm the voice for the people, which is scary, I know. What happened?
Saban forgot that he had met Dean's mother. He said, "Nice to meet you." And she was like, "We've met 3 times.
Ooh.
And he didn't answer. He didn't respond. He just gave
her too much time in the barbershop.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And
they might have nicked more than just the hair a little bit.
And she was like,
"Uh-oh.
Do we all look alike?"
Oh.
And then that was the end of that. So it'll be interesting to see really what takes place and how that goes forward. Stanford's also a big, big, big threat to Ole Miss. And I expect him to take a visit out there in the summer.
So you're saying that if you were advising Matt Luke, you would say, study pictures of N'Kobe Dean's mom. Get that down. Get that ironed out.
If I was his wife, I would have flashcards of all the recruits' parents. We'd go over it every night before bed. Because that's so critical.
You know how easy it would be to make that mistake? You meet so many people.
But a 4-star Rivals 100 linebacker?
Well, yeah, Alabama has like 30 of those.
True. But they keep telling him that he's their top target at the position, blah, blah, blah.
That's tough. Hard to overcome stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And
I mean, you can, but it's hard.
Yes, it can be fixed. It can be accommodated.
Yeah. So I interrupted you. Stanford, Alabama, Ole Miss, who else is legit in this?
Mississippi State thinks they are, which is kind of interesting. He's visited Ole Miss, I think.
You're new here?
5 or 6 times.
You're still fairly new here. They think they're in on everyone. And now Ole Miss gets guilty on this too sometimes, but State's bad about this. They've done it with South Panola kids forever. Oh, we're in on it. No, you're not.
South Panola is typically an Ole Miss pipeline.
Yes.
That'll be interesting to see if they end up pulling the trigger on Kenoda Lewis.
You'll see Ole Miss do this with kids at like Columbus or something. Okay. Oh, we're in on it. No, you're not.
West Point.
Yeah, they'll recruit some kid super hard, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, we feel good about it."
Is that how Tupelo's been in the past, too?
No. I mean, I think Tupelo, we're way out of it. We should have Parham in here right now because he could really delve into all the Mississippi politics. Tupelo leans state, but not to the point that it's out of control where you can't pull it off.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, they do have 2 commits from there currently. And, you know, getting back to N'Kobe Dean's recruitment, actually, LSU's still in the picture. But it's going to take some on-field performances and, you know, improvements both on the offense and defensive side of the ball, as well as some gain stability if Dean is going to end up at LSU, especially when they already have Zach Edwards committed, the linebacker from Starkville.
I can't believe he didn't call that a strike. I mean, the Cubs will take the break, but that strike, what's this pitch? This is a strike them out, throw them out. Ooh. If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm not happy with that call. Wow. Going to be a long day for the pitchers if that's not a strike. All right. What's the taller task for Ole Miss? The following 22 questions are brought to you by C-Strand. Our thanks to C-Strand.
I offered him to, you know, become a sponsor of the podcast. He wasn't interested.
Yeah, he should. He should sponsor these threads. I'm just playing with you. It's all good. What's the taller task? That's a good question. Convincing Charles Moore to flip from state or Jay Stanley helping Ole Miss land Jerrion Jones?
Well, Jones and Stanley aren't, quote-unquote, officially teammates yet.
Okay.
So I'm not going to really get too far into that. Jones is still at Northwest ranking currently, and Stanley just transferred to Brandon. And the two know each other from 7-on-7, but they are not official teammates just yet. Seastrunk and Moore, I'll actually be seeing them next week. I'm pretty excited about it. Spring practice is getting started in Mississippi. I know you hate spring practice, but it's...
I mean, I don't hate it. I just sometimes think at the college level especially, I mean, I get it at the high school level and stuff, you know, you're really teaching the game. But sometimes at the college level, the risk does not outweigh the reward.
Ohio doesn't do it, so this is like a whole new world to me.
They don't have spring high school football?
Not at all.
Yeah.
A couple schools will play 7-on-7 in the gym and try to hide it from the OHSAA, but no, there's none.
For example, Greg Little, thank goodness this didn't happen because I like Greg. He seems like a really nice kid. But Greg Little tears a knee up in April. You tell me, that was that worth it to go through some fundamentals? Come on. Go lift weights.
Yeah.
Go get faster, stronger, fitter, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
You talked about Grant Tisdale earlier. This essentially the question is, will he have coattails in the state of Texas?
Yes. EJ and Doma Ogar, who I kind of hinted around to in the chicks this morning, kind of upset a couple people. It was interesting. Him.
Ndoma Ogar.
Okay. Yeah. He's an offensive lineman from Allen. He's a teammate of Grant's and
okay.
immediately becomes a top priority if he wasn't already before. And then you've got Lewis Sine, it's either Sine or Sine, a four-star safety from Texas in the Dallas area. Langston Anderson from Midlothian is actually a Mississippi native who moved to Texas to kind of boost his recruitment. And, well, I'm not sure if it was to boost his recruitment. I believe his parents got a job, but he was really excited about it for a chance to, you know, gain some more exposure and to get the offers that he felt were warranted. But his recruitment hasn't taken off to the point that I expected it and several other people in the profession expected it to do. And Ole Miss has been a prominent option for him and will continue to be. And then you've got Darren Smith, a running back from the Texas area, who actually has a ton of Ole Miss ties, is from Biloxi, and has told me multiple times that he would commit on the spot if offered. And with Ole Miss kind of potentially striking out at the running back position again with Ramir Johnson and the running back from D.C. who visited last weekend ending up elsewhere and Ely likely 95% or around there going pro in baseball, they're going to need running backs. And you know, he's someone I could see them offering later on. And then you've got the top dog, Jalen Curry, the receiver from Houston. He's Texas schools have kind of moved him down a little bit on their board and kind of moved on other options. And Ole Miss has been in touch and had a relationship with Curry since Peeler first took the job, I would think, that, you know, using that and Tisdale, Tisdale actually tweeted something about it yesterday before taking it down, that Ole Miss getting a presence in the Texas area could prove critical, especially, you know, if A&M starts to slide again. And if Texas goes 6-6 again, the entire state of Texas is going to just turn over, you would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't think Tom Herman's going to go 6-6. I think he's going to win more than that. And I think Jimbo Fisher's going to win at A&M. I also think A&M's weird, and so it's really hard for them to do all of the things that, from a winning standpoint, that they talk about doing. I know there's all these people that, and I'm one of them. I'm a huge Jimbo Fisher fan. He's won everywhere he's ever gone. I know Jimbo. I've known him for a long time. He's a winner. But, boy, that's a weird place.
It is. It's a weird time to take a job in the SEC West and to use an offense that is going to use a fullback 80% of the time.
Well, he wanted to go to Auburn.
Yeah.
When Auburn beat Georgia and beat Alabama, Malzahn stayed. Got a ton of money, and Jimbo said, to hell with this, let's cash in.
Yeah, I mean, that the Auburn job kind of dictated the entire coaching landscape last offseason.
In many ways, yes.
Because Malzahn goes to Arkansas, Morris doesn't have a new job, Fisher doesn't leave Florida State, Taggart doesn't get the Florida State job, anything could have happened.
Taggart might have been in play somewhere else at that point.
Yeah, he might have been wearing red and blue.
He would have given it some thought. There's no question. Do you expect DeMonte Russell to announce his commitment before his senior season? And who do you think the schools are that lead for him?
I do expect him to announce his commitment before his senior season. And as we, you know, record this on Thursday, he's on the campus at Mississippi State. And I see Mississippi State currently as the leader for him, with Tennessee not far behind and Ole Miss making out the top three. Russell's recruitment is going to, I wouldn't say explode, but there's going to be a ton of new options for him coming around once colleges are in here in Oxford, in Mississippi, and all over the place during the spring evaluation period, which actually gets started next week. And they get a chance to see him practice, they get a chance to see him in pads, and they get a chance to see his legit size instead of just seeing it on film.
We're going to take a break from the questions to tell you this podcast is brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Bonelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years. He has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he services the entire state of Mississippi from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. So if you're in the market for a mortgage, looking at any kind of one of those loans, get in touch with John. He's been a very loyal sponsor of this podcast. We would appreciate you giving him an opportunity at your business. You can contact him at fidelitymort.com or 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 103-9190. Okay, so back to the questions. How do you think Ole Miss has its wide receiver target board ranked?
I know they're really high on Mingo. Mingo's been really high on them. Mingo went to Georgia, got the Georgia offer the past 2 weeks, and there's a story out on him on Rivals.com about his infatuation with A.J. Green growing up, which, I mean, who didn't like A.J. Green? But it's an interesting dynamic because many thought Mingo was going to commit to Ole Miss this past weekend. And when it didn't happen, people were kind of a little bit freaked out or worried, or, you know, the old Brandon being Brandon thing back at Brandon High School. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to follow with Mingo. But after him, you have Dynas Jackson, who everybody's been high on. I think it's between Ole Miss and LSU. But if Alabama comes into the picture and offers an offer he's been waiting on for months, like every time you talk to him, you know, that's the one he's been waiting on to before he, you know, narrows it down, puts out a top five, top three or something like that. I would think he would have a top three with Ole Miss, LSU and Alabama were they to offer. But Auburn's been there. Mississippi State's trying to get back in the picture. What Mississippi State did with Mingo, you know, getting back to Mingo, which kind of slowed things down a little bit, is they were recruiting him at safety for a while. And if you see him run maybe three routes, you're like, that's an SEC receiver. I've never seen him in coverage. I mean, obviously I've seen him on film in coverage, but you don't see him do that in camps. He's working out strictly at receiver, and that's what he's going to be at the next level. And then from the out-of-state standpoint, you have Jalen Curry. You've got Ramel Caton from Georgia. You've got those two main out-of-state targets, and then you've already got two committed in, you know, Jordan Jernigan and Javonte Payton. You can't sign six receivers, obviously, so, you know, something's going to have to give, especially with Kevin Barnett from Oak Grove still out there too.
I hate asking questions about who will not qualify.
The 2018 class was my first class, you know, being down here, and I was amazed by how many of the top 15 to 20 just in the state last year. I'm not going to get into any names. I'm not going to drop any hints, but it was just amazing to see, you know, how many of those kids ended up at the Southern Misses and, you know, the other not prominent state schools due to grades and, you know, just a lack of understanding of the recruiting process, I guess. I mean, there were quite a few kids who could have committed to Ole Miss or Mississippi State, even Florida State, early on in the process, but by waiting it out and you know, taking their time and taking their visits and waiting to see if their friend was going to get that offer that he really wanted, they kind of hurt themselves in the process. And it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, how much different the class of 2019 is from that standpoint, especially when you've got kids, you know, barely cracking the top 30 who are either committed to Ole Miss already or have Ole Miss, Florida State, Notre Dame offers. I mean, it's interesting.
Everyone wants these. People like these. These are really hard to do. A rough breakdown of how many position breakdown of this class, if you had to guess, kind of how does it end up looking?
Okay, so quarterback, you've got one. There's a chance they take two, but that chance is named KJ Jefferson.
Okay.
But Jefferson's about, I don't know, hours, minutes, days, weeks away from committing to Arkansas. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how far down the road they go with him and, you know, if they potentially start looking at Plumlee as a quarterback. But right now it just seems to be Jefferson or bust. Running back, I see two signees on top of Ely. Ely obviously is the wild card, so you never know what's going to happen. A wide receiver, I see them signing between 4 and 5, depending on how their numbers go. Obviously, if they take two quarterbacks, they're only probably going to be able to take 4 receivers. On the offensive line, you know, I see them taking between 4 and 5, depending on how everything shakes out. Offensive line was a need in the last class, and they weren't fully able to nail that. You'll remember they lost Tank Jenkins on signing day to A&M.
Yeah.
And they had plans of signing Glenn Beal, the tight end from Louisiana, and potentially moving him to tackle. And they missed out on him to Texas A&M as well.
You've talked about this a little bit. Some defensive tackle prospects Ole Miss is in on for 2019. Then he asks specifically about some of the defensive end prospects moving inside the tackle at the next level, refers to Gordon, Young, Handy, Russell, Pickering, or more.
I tell you, if Handy keeps gaining weight, he's going to have to be a defensive tackle. I believe he's pushing 300 now, and with his height and weight combination, especially to go with his speed, you could see him making an impact as a defensive tackle rather than an end. You know, other defensive tackle prospects they're on. Everybody will tell you that Ole Miss is in on Ishmael Sopcich, the number 2 or 3 player in the country from Louisiana, but I'm not going to lie to you. He's going to LSU.
Yeah, where in Louisiana is he from?
And they got Patrick Lucas from Wetumpka. He's kind of picked up some steam in his recruitment. He visited Ole Miss this spring. You've got Travis Hopper, the defensive tackle from Memphis Central, who decommitted from Arkansas. And I believe he has some kind of news dropping tomorrow. I kind of keep an eye on that. Not exactly sure what that is, but we'll see. Like I said, he decommitted from Arkansas over the weekend. And the Memphis Central team with the new coach, Major Wright, there, they lost quite a bit of their talent to IMG. They kind of had a little bit of an infighting with the old staff coming in against the new staff. And because of that, you know, several of the talents left. Shamar Nash left. Eric Gregory left. But Hopper stayed, and Hopper's brother, they're both going to be pretty good. But yeah, I'd keep an eye on Hopper. And Christian Williams from Southwind and Memphis as well. He's a name to know. He was really close with Jordan Davis, the defensive end who signed with Alabama last year. Those are the main targets at defensive tackle right now. And then you've got a couple within sprinkled around the state of Texas and California who are expected to emerge as targets and get offers as time goes on.
Still a little while till the next rating cycle. Who in Mississippi do you think gets the biggest ratings boost during the next ranking cycle?
Boost or like to go up?
Yeah.
I would say either Jerrion Jones or the aforementioned Jonathan Mingo. Diamante Russell is also up there. Russell lit up the Rivals camp in Mobile, as did Mingo. I mean, when you have the wide receiver MVP and the defensive line MVP coming from the same state, and I'm not exactly sure how close Provine and Brandon are, but that was a pretty big accomplishment for both the state of Mississippi and those kids. Either one of them getting their fourth star wouldn't exactly surprise me. Bryce Ramsey also, as he continues to, you know, build his repertoire and as an offensive lineman, he's committed to Ole Miss as a center. There's a chance he could make the slide over to guard, but he has to get a little bit bigger and bigger from like a height standpoint. I mean, he's already almost 350 pounds, so that's not going to be a factor. And then from a offer standpoint, you've got Plumlee, who he gets a new offer almost every day, whether it be a quarterback or as an athlete. Arizona State actually offered him earlier this week, and they offered him as a quarterback. I mean, when you see an offer from Herm Edwards, gosh, it still feels so weird talking about Herm Edwards in college football.
It really does.
Especially when he's talking about cutting kids. But anyways, with Plumlee, several teams are after him at quarterback, and if Ole Miss isn't going to pursue him at quarterback, I don't really see them being a factor, and I'm not sure if Mississippi State does either.
Top targets for Ole Miss in Georgia in this class?
There is Ramel Caton, the receiver I mentioned who released the top eight, included Ole Miss in there. It's going to be tough to get him out of the state of Georgia. You've got Zion Puckett, an athlete who projects probably on the defensive side of the ball. You've got DJ Turner, a four-star cornerback. Linebacker Trey Wilkins, who was supposed to make it for the spring game. He's a kid from Stone Mountain. Local power there in Stevenson High School. And then you've got, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his name, Matthias Soli, a defensive end who is blown up late. Ole Miss was one of his first offers.
I take it he's not related to Gordon Soli?
No.
Used to be the announcer for WCW.
Nope, not this one.
Not really.
No.
It's too bad.
Alabama.
Because that'd be a good story.
Yeah, it would be. But Alabama and Clemson have both offered recently, so I'm not sure, you know, really how realistic that is. But then you get to the ones who did visit this spring. You've got Riley Simmons from Buford. Ole Miss has offered Buford's entire offensive line. You've got Garmon Randolph.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they're one of like three or four schools that have offered the entire offensive line, like all five of them.
Odds are they're all not going to one place as a package, I'm guessing.
No. Okay. I think the best one actually ends up at Ohio State.
That'd be a good story.
It would
be. All five of them went to, like, Western Michigan, just decided to shake it up.
That would be fascinating. And then you've got Jeremy James. Jeremy James would be considered the most likely to be either the next commit or the most likely to commit from the state of Georgia. He's visited Ole Miss, I believe, three times since the start of the new year. And he's got some family in Mississippi and, believe, a really good family friend in Oxford. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Swag for Heisman wants you to get to work. He says, okay, bud, spring practice is in the books. You've had a little time to catch your breath. You're not doing anything. When are the recruiting evals going to be published on the current staff? And then he does try to soften it by saying, sir.
Yes, he was very, very assertive. And then at the end, he's like, sir. Yeah. You know, I plan on getting to work on those. A lot of it's pretty obvious. You see Longo really dipping into the state of Texas, which is something he didn't do much of last year. And he's also been into California as well. I can see Longo getting an expanded role in recruiting in this cycle, partially because of the quote-unquote demotion of their recruiting coordinator. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. The state of Tennessee, outside of Memphis and Nashville, who's going to end up recruiting that area? Obviously, you've got Peeler in the Oxford area. You've got Peeler on the coast. You know, I'll get to the full profile on those as things progress. Obviously, Charles Clark has connections and people all over the place, being at Colorado and Oregon and, you know, his ties. But like I said, probably the next week, maybe 10 days.
He says not to get on a Memphis tirade, but what's a market outside of Mississippi that you think Ole Miss could and should tap to bring in solid recruits?
Is there an option outside of Memphis? I was looking at the map. How far is Oklahoma City from here?
A good 8.5 to 9 hours.
So that's not in the picture.
It's not really. It's not a particularly comfortable drive.
No, I didn't think so. I don't think the drive to Texas is either, is it?
You probably are 8 to 9 hours from both Dallas and Houston.
That's still not that bad.
It's not horrible.
It's not 45 minutes to an hour like Memphis is.
No, it's more like 8 or 9 of those 45 minutes to an hour.
You
drove to Memphis and back, Memphis and back, Memphis and back, Memphis and back, and to Memphis, that would be like driving to Houston or Dallas.
See, that's how the staff should prioritize, you would think, the city of Memphis. They should think the way you are and think about the expense report of driving to Dallas or flying to Dallas compared to the expense report of, I'm just going to take a nice stroll up to Memphis.
You go Birmingham's less than 3 hours away.
You're not getting someone that Alabama and Auburn wants from Birmingham.
Why not?
It's just not going to happen.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think of other places.
You got Jackson.
Little Rock. A lot of football players in Little Rock. Houston Nutt's from there.
That says all I need to know about Little Rock. I've never been
there. Danny Nutt's from there, too.
Who?
Danny Nutt. Let's see. What else? St. Louis. About 6 hours away.
You've got Missouri. You've got Illinois. You've got Ohio State in there. Ohio State signed the top kid in St. Louis last year, Cameron Babb.
You're so obsessed with Memphis. There's other cities than Memphis in this country. Memphis is not Nashville.
You think that someone from Nashville is going to – well, I mean, there's a chance there.
It's just 4 hours.
There's a chance there. But with the who you have recruiting in Nashville right now, I don't foresee that becoming a pipeline. Obviously, you did get the – he was going to be a walk-on, and then he ended up getting a scholarship. Little Knox, I don't remember his name at the exact moment.
Dawson's brother?
Yes, that's what we'll go with it.
What about New Orleans? It's just a little over 5 hours away.
You're not getting a kid from New Orleans that LSU wants. There's no school that you associate Memphis with. Is there?
Well, there's the University of.
Really?
Tiger High.
Memphis State.
I mean, they hired Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway isn't coaching football. Penny Hardaway isn't getting them into a Power 5 conference yet, is he?
Well, not yet, but he's only been there a couple of weeks. Give it some time, for God's sake.
Do you really think that could happen?
No.
Never?
No, I'm just trying to be the devil's advocate.
But
I'm
really,
I'm trying to set you off on a tirade.
When you think about Little Rock, Little Rock kids go to Arkansas.
A lot.
When you think of Birmingham, those kids go to Alabama or Auburn.
Mostly.
At least the elite talents.
Yes.
New Orleans kids go to LSU or Alabama.
The Ole Miss should get kids out of Memphis. I'm screwing around. Ole Miss should get kids out of Memphis. I always talk about maximizing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you want to maximize the Ole Miss job, on the field, you got to beat Vanderbilt every year. You got to win your non-league games every year. And you got to beat Mississippi State most of the time. That's 6 wins. If you do that every year, you start off with 6 wins. And then after that, you got to beat Arkansas half the time. Got to get LSU close to half the time. You get your East team when you get an East, when you catch a break and it's Kentucky or someone like that. You got to get it. Missouri, you got to get it. You got to be good enough for when you catch. You got to be able to beat Auburn, but not consistently because I don't think that's realistic. But you got to be able to beat Auburn, you know, every 3 years.
Yeah, I would say for every signing class there is, they should be able to beat Auburn
one time. 1.5 times.
Yeah.
And then you got to be in position to where when you catch Alabama on a day when they have a hiccup, you have a chance.
Yeah, 1 in every 4 to 5 years.
I mean, eventually Saban will go away and maybe this will recycle. But right now, Alabama's the premier program in the country. So, you know, off the field, you've got to do well in Mississippi. You're never going to dominate the state because of the politics of the state. But you got to be able to get people out of Memphis. You have to be able to compete for the elite prospect out of Memphis. And for whatever reason, that's been a struggle.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, when you have universities affiliated with these major hubs and big cities, there has to be one for Memphis. And there's not. You've got kids going to Oklahoma. You've got kids going to Texas A&M. You've got kids going to Tennessee.
Arkansas.
You've got kids going to Arkansas. Oh, man. The kids in Memphis rave about this new staff at Arkansas. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's going to last once they see him play on the field. But right now, a lot of those kids are going to start taking official visits and unofficial visits to Arkansas.
That's interesting. Take a quick break before we come back and finish up. Today's podcast is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond as the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world. Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisition market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? Well, it's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast. Well, listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more.
I was asked by a couple of subscribers, I think it was either on Facebook, Twitter, or on the board, I don't remember what it was, but they kind of wanted me to break down the commitments and the on-the-field play for Braxton Ragland and Stanley. So I'm going to do just that.
Okay.
Braxton Ragland committed to Ole Miss as a nickel corner. He's a heavy hitter. He doesn't hesitate, and he's overly physical for somebody with his size. He'll tell you he's 6 foot. I'd go 5'11", maybe 5'10". With him, there's not much wasted movement, and you can see if you put on the tape that he makes plays, whether it's stripping the ball, making the quarterback feel hurried, all kinds of different things. And with him, you know, similar to Stanley, where Stanley was before, in Greenwood, Leeds, Alabama is not exactly a hotbed for talent.
No. I've been to a game there.
In Leeds?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where Leeds is. So that's how
east of Birmingham as you head towards Atlanta on 20.
Yeah, and you know what, Ragland's at St. Clair County now. That's a bigger school.
I think it probably is now. When I was there it wasn't, but it's area's booming.
Yeah, I mean, you could give a nice assist to that commitment to Jalen Cunningham, the 4-star offensive lineman / defensive tackle who signed in the class of 2018. You know, he kind of helped Ragland a little bit, as well as, you know, getting him the conversation started, basically. Ragland's a fundamental tackler, a little bit unsure about how he would perform in coverage, which is kind of scary for a nickel corner. But you really don't see it that much, so it'll be interesting to see how he does with that in the camp cycle and in his senior season. Jalen Stanley, really similar player to Ragland. Stanley did everything for Greenwood last year. It was kind of interesting to see because he doesn't need to do that at Brandon when you've got, you know, insert high 3, low 4-star transfer. You've got Jonathan Mingo, you've got Will Rogers, and you've got Stanley. That offense is going to be pretty good, and I'm not even sure if they need to use him on offense for next season. He's not going to have to do everything he did last year. You've got Will Rogers, like I mentioned. I think he's the top 2020 quarterback in the state, and you know, he'll be able to find some room. Stanley projects best at the star position, at least to start. And, you know, for him, it's going to be – it's one of those either-ors. He's either going to put on the weight and be a linebacker, or he's going to keep the weight and gain some speed and be a safety at the next level.
Do you think Brandon Turnage stays committed to Alabama?
No.
Where do you think he ends up?
Ole Miss.
Okay.
Or Auburn. I mean, that's – everybody you talk to says he's either going to Ole Miss or Auburn. Doesn't really seem like – it seems like the Alabama commitment was more of a secure a spot type thing. Obviously, you remember – well, obviously, I don't think you do remember. Doctors were telling him he was never going to play football again last year. So for him to be healthy enough, I'm going to see him in spring practice next week. I'll be able to talk to him. That's why I had mentioned that I was going to get an update. He kind of got the dates mixed up for his spring practice. It'll be interesting to see how he rebounds from that, because when you have the injury that he did to your foot, there's a chance that you're never the athlete you were before.
Sure. Most likely to end up in this class, Bobby Wolf or Maurice Hampton?
I'm going to have to go with Bobby Wolf. I think that Hampton either sticks with LSU or, you know, possibly ends with Mississippi State. I think is it Dolan's, the baseball organization?
Yeah.
I think that kind of cancels any type of interest that he has in Ole Miss.
Any update on the recruitment of Kane Patterson?
I know he visited Tennessee. I know Clemson's in there. I know Ohio State's in there. It seems to be more of a shaping up to be a blue blood recruitment.
Ole Miss is not a blue blood at this point?
No, sir.
Okay.
Speaking of Ole Miss being eliminated, they actually, well, not officially, but they're at least unofficially been eliminated from the recruitment of three-star running back Eric Gray from Lausanne. It seems more and more likely that he's trending towards Mississippi State, and it seems to be a Mississippi State-Tennessee battle similar to Diamante Russell.
Do you expect Phil Longo, you're asked this by EA Finzup, do you expect Phil Longo and Wesley McGriff to be on the staff at Ole Miss next year?
Both of them?
It says Longo and McGriff.
I'm going to just have a simple one-word answer, no.
I don't either. I expect one of them.
You think one of them are there?
I mean, look, if you put the over-under at one half a person, if you put it at 1.5, it's easy. I go under. I just put all my money on the table and go under. If you put it at 1/2 a person, which would be the next place you'd have to put it to be able to get money on, that would be – I'd have to really think about it.
I'm taking the under.
Well, you say that with a great deal of confidence.
I do.
Look at Kyle Schwarber. Just look at that, like a damn gazelle out there and left. You know, if you made me pick under or over,
you almost lost both of them this offseason.
Be a close call. We'll table that for another day. I know you're planning to go to Atlanta, but the weather could change that.
That is true.
Probably should change that.
Which and I also heard that Acuna's debut might get delayed too because he's kind of struggling in AAA at the moment. So I can't complain too much.
If I'm Atlanta, I'm just in no rush. They're off to a good start. They're playing well, and you don't want to do anything that could do anything to hurt his development. He's a kid. He's got lots and lots of time. The service time thing's not an issue right now. Just relax. Let him get comfortable.
Yeah.
Tell him to stop pressing. Chill. Gonna be okay. You're our guy.
That's
relax.
Right.
Get comfortable.
The sooner we can get Markakis out of the cleanup spot, the better. It is just terrible right now. You see Freddie Freeman, third in the lineup, right? He's being walked for the cleanup hitter.
Yeah.
I think he's leading the majors in walks. And you're walking him to get to Markakis for obvious reasons.
Sure, because I'd rather pitch to Markakis than I would Freddie Freeman.
And there's obvious reasons that Markakis is still on the roster that have nothing to do with his play.
Of course.
Hometown
kid.
Still,
if I'm Atlanta, and I know they're good and they got a chance and all that stuff, but it's early, I'm not doing anything at all that could mess with Acuna. I'm not doing anything at all that could hurt him mentally, create a mental hurdle, create a pressing deal. Nope. Nope. Too valuable to the future of my franchise. Way too valuable to me if I'm Atlanta in 19 and 20 and 21 to risk anything screwing it up in 18. I don't do it. I bring him up when he's ready and not a minute before, and I tell him you're our superstar, and our goal is that once we bring you up, we never send you down.
Exactly, because they don't want the Dansby Swanson situation.
Nope. They brought him up too quick.
Yeah.
And they got kind of happy. I take a deep breath sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. I think you've touched on just about all of this. Anything on Jay Stanley?
I talked about him a little bit ago.
Yeah.
He's visiting Mississippi State this weekend, though. I did forget to mention that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll stop it there. We'll see. We're 54 minutes into a recruiting only podcast. People should be happy. Russell brought up the Braves there at the end, and I went down that rabbit hole. But if you want to hear more of Russell's thoughts on the Braves, we're going to talk NBA playoffs. We might talk a little early Major League Baseball. It's still middle of April. It's a little too early for anyone to panic, unless you're like a Reds fan, and then it's probably safe to go ahead and panic.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but you knew going in you were going to panic, so yeah. It's unbelievable what they've done. We'll get to all of that in a little bit in the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, but that does it for today for the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Our thanks to Billy's Pecans, the storage acquisition group, John Benelli, for their sponsorship of this program. If you are in the market for any of their services, we'd really appreciate you giving them a chance. They make podcasts like this one possible. So until next week, for Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Take care.